Welcome. You're listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast, presented by HIP. This podcast is dedicated to orthodontists who want to stand strong in their market and be leaders in their community. Now, on to today's show. Hey, it's Luke at HIP, and if you've been listening to the Grow Ortho Podcast maybe for weeks, months, or in some cases years, you know that we typically interview an industry expert, whether it be someone working in the office or a consultant, or just a strategic partner for orthodontists. Well, we're going to change things up just a bit. And this year we've actually released 4 books. And so we're going to release every audiobook, basically a chapter for each episode. Listen, enjoy, and let us know what you find valuable and implement and what works well in your office. Thanks so much for supporting HIP. And we hope you enjoy all these episodes on the Practice Growth Series.
Chapter 4, Dissolving Your Ego. Typically, the reason practices don't grow, and not just in orthodontics, is the business owner getting in the way of growth. Dr. Ben Fishbein. Nan-in, a Japanese master during the Meiji era, received a university professor who came to inquire about Zen. Nan-in served tea. He poured his visitor's cup full and then kept on pouring. The professor watched the overflow until he could no longer restrain himself. "It is over full. No more will go in," he exclaimed. "Like this cup," Nan-in said, "you are full of opinions and speculations. How can I show you Zen unless you first empty your cup?" One of the main reasons that most people never discover their X factor is ego. The ego is a term used in psychology to refer to the part of the self responsible for a person's sense of self-esteem and self-importance. It is part of the self that strives for success, power, and recognition, and it is often associated with feelings of pride and self-importance. The ego is a crucial part of the psyche, as it helps us to navigate the social world and form relationships with others. However, an overdeveloped ego can lead to problems such as arrogance and entitlement, which can be detrimental to one's relationships and overall well-being. One of the main problems that most people experience is the fact that they let their egos run their emotions and their decisions. They don't interact with their ego consciously and develop it in alignment with the person that they want to be. Because of this, they may feel that their dreams are unattainable, or that others who accomplish great things have something special they lack. The ego explained. The ego is often described as the I, or me, a person experiences and identifies with. The ego is a crucial aspect of a person's identity and helps to mediate between the demands of the outside world and the individual's desires and needs. It is thought to be developed during early childhood as a way for a person to navigate the complex social and psychological environment in which they find themselves. The ego helps a person to protect themselves from the demands and expectations of others, as well as to maintain a sense of self-worth and self-esteem. The ego is not necessarily a negative aspect of a person's psyche. Still, it can become unhealthy if it becomes overly dominant or leads a person to act selfishly or narcissistically. It is important for a person to be aware of their ego and to strive for a healthy balance between their ego and their sense of empathy and connection to others. We have the power to shape our ego when we observe it, interact with it consciously, and direct how it defines who we are. This is why a morning formula keeps us focused on our X factor and the legacy we want to leave. We want the ego aligned with our wants and desires, not opposing them. I had this one interaction with an orthodontist who left an associate position at a thriving practice to start her own. She wanted to hire us to do some marketing, and we were on a discovery call to see if we could be a fit for partnering with them. This doctor had read our very first book, The Ultimate Practice, What Medical School Forgot to Teach You About Building the Life of Your Dreams. She said, "There's some good stuff in there, but I'm just going to be honest with you, because that's how I am. I was really offended by Chapter 8, You Suck at Business. You should consider rewriting it, because I feel like I don't suck at business." I already had some red flags about entering a business relationship with this doctor, but I decided to explore the possibility a little further. So I said, "It's interesting that you feel that way. Can you tell me how you know you don't suck at business? Well, she said she graduated at the top of her class and did not think business was that complicated. She said, I'm an orthodontist. I can figure it out. Unfortunately, many doctors we've come across seem to think this way. They figure that just because they did one thing well and were a straight-A student, they can do everything else the same way. Well, maybe. Maybe not. I've worked with hundreds of orthodontists and spoken with over 1,000 practitioners in multiple medical specialties, and less than 5% are good at business. I'm not saying that some are not doing very well in business. Let me clarify. I have the most respect for a doctor who recognizes what they are good at and gets help with the things that are not in their wheelhouse. Because even if you are in that percentile of doctors who can run a business, is that why you spent over a decade in school? Put that ego aside. What's the best use of an orthodontist's time? If you ask Dr. Fishbein, it's not to sit around and think about the business all day, doing payroll, hiring, and firing, among other things. He believes that orthodontists generate the most money when they are chairside, seeing patients. You can dream about other things when you're not in the office. Dr. Ernie McDowell, CEO of All Smiles Orthodontics, shares the same sentiment. He explains, when I'm at the practice, I work for Janet, the COO of All Smiles. Janet runs the business because I went to school to be an orthodontist. I didn't go to school to be a business owner. When you start your own practice, you become a business owner, which creates an identity crisis. You have to be the orthodontist, but you also have to manage the business. The challenge becomes doing both well, and that's what most people can't figure out. A lot of it comes down to the ego getting in the way of them being able to move forward in the best way to enjoy seeing patients and build a thriving business. In Chapter 8, we'll discuss the entrepreneurial myth, e-myth, which describes business owners' identity crises. You'll also discover the solution to make your business become whatever you desire, but first, you must deal with your ego. So, I asked this doctor, if it's really that easy, why haven't you done it before now? The whole point of that chapter is to show doctors that if they put their egos and feelings aside, they would realize what's missing and what they don't understand about business, so they could get the proper structure in place. That's the whole reason I wrote the book. When you think you know everything, you probably won't go very far. Building a thriving business is faster and easier when you get out of your way and ask for the right help. Most people do suck at business. That's why most small businesses fail, and most orthodontists can't grow beyond the industry average of $1.2 million in production. I had this one client who finally realized she had to release the reins and get our help to grow. She was a great practitioner and had been frustrated for years to the point where she was considering other career options. Until she gave us the login to access her systems remotely, she was the only person assigning passwords and handling menial administrative tasks. I was watching the webcam in her TC room and saw her getting a pay stub from their accounting software for her so-called office manager to show her that a particular staff member did get paid. What the heck is she doing handling payroll? As long as she is holding on to control and micromanaging, she can't assume her most profitable role as CEO and orthodontist. Give yourself some perspective. If most orthodontists, and all business owners for that matter, would just say, hey, I don't know everything, life would be so much happier and more profitable. One of the biggest mistakes business people make is trying to be the movie's star. They're not the star of the movie. Their patient is. You need to guide them through their journey and let them win. Dr. Castilla said it best. Business owners need to be more like Yoda in Star Wars, guiding their clients to success and helping them win. Many business owners think they deserve to make a lot of money just because of their position, when in fact, this is not the case. Nobody owes you anything. It was your choice to go to school for that long. It was your choice to invest money and start a practice. You'll never get anywhere if you're always thinking about what you think you deserve. Businesses offer services. You should be thinking about how you can best provide value to your client and serve them. Helping them will help you grow. They're the main character, not you. The more you understand this and dissolve your ego, letting go of what you think you know, the easier it'll be to make decisions that will benefit you in the long run. Here's the conversation in my head and why I seek help from mentors for my own business. Okay, there's Warren Buffett and then there's me. That's a massive gap. But I will take the opportunity to learn from anyone on the path ahead of me. If someone is getting way better results with less effort, making more money in less time, or wowing customers in a way I don't, then obviously I suck at business compared to them, right? That's why I'm always looking at what others are doing to achieve success, throwing away my systems and replacing them with theirs. I don't see any point in defending what I'm doing when clearly there's a better way. I am grateful for the help I receive from experts who know how to do what I am doing better than I do. This mindset keeps me hitting my targets year after year. Maybe you've just started your practice, and that's why you're not growing as well as the most thriving practices. Maybe you're stuck in the hamster wheel like most doctors, managing their practice rather than being the CEO. You just need to put your ego aside, admit that you don't know everything, and partner with the experts who do know. That way, you can build the right foundation so your business is not sitting on the shaky sand. I just feel like most people don't do that. As I have said, this phenomenon is not limited to orthodontists and medical specialists. If you've ever watched the show The Prophet, which airs on CNBC, you'll see plenty of examples of business owners who just can't get past their egos and receive not just mentorship, but actual help from a highly successful businessman and investor. Marcus Lemonis, the host, is the CEO and chairman of Camping World, a company that sells recreational vehicles and camping gear. On the show, Lemonis travels around the country to help small businesses in need. He offers to invest his own money in the businesses in exchange for a percentage of ownership, and he works with the owners to help turn the businesses around and make them more profitable. Lemonis uses his expertise in business and his personal insights to help businesses overcome challenges and succeed. Lemonis, whose net worth is approximately $500 million, is also involved in several other business ventures, including a boutique hotel chain, a home improvement store, and a luxury pet hotel. He is also an active investor and has invested in various industries, including real estate, manufacturing, and retail. So these floundering business owners have the great fortune of not just receiving advice or mentorship from a guy with a proven track record of success. On top of all that, Lemonis takes on financial risk and becomes a shareholder in their company. Say it's a t-shirt business. He'll leverage all his connections in design, printmaking, and distribution and merge systems and processes to improve efficiency and production while lowering costs. He'll provide the method and the means to make improvements that could save them 4 times their costs, making recapturing the income a no-brainer. Half the time, the business owners reject everything he says and tell him to leave their business. They want to back out of a deal with a high probability of succeeding. They get so angry with him and accuse him of trying to change things, pushing them into doing something they don't want to do, and not understanding them or their business, among other accusations. Fortunately, in many cases, Lemonis has been able to help many of these businesses succeed and turn their fortunes around. This problem transcends every business. People just can't admit that they don't know everything and cannot grow the business. They may never be able to figure it out. They can't admit that working in an associate or corporate job for 2, 4, or 6 years isn't what they should be doing. It's almost like they can't face it. So how do you decide to put your ego aside and admit these things to build the confidence to create what you want? Getting out of your way is the first step. Now, you may think that the individuals we discussed in the last chapter have enormous egos, and you would not be wrong in saying so. The distinction I would like to make is that because they uncovered and harnessed their X factor to achieve greatness, they had to interact with and to build their ego to align with their goals. They sought out the best mentors and put in the countless hours of work necessary to tell their egos to get out of the way so that they could build the confidence and skill to become the best in their chosen field. Being willing to do the work. People say they have goals, whether wanting a family, a thriving business, or doing X, Y, and Z. Sadly, most people never follow through. They never take a step back and think, if I want that, here's the list of things I'll have to do to get there. That, and the fact that it will take time. We're not taught to think that way, for whatever reason. So people just keep waking up and doing the same thing, day after day, never asking what the steps they need to start taking today may be. You've got to break that habit and say, okay, I have this goal, and I want it for these reasons. How do we work backward from that so I can take the necessary daily actions to make it real? You break it down like an equation, and you go to work. You put your ego aside, keep working, and continue growing. And it could take 4 years. It could take a year. Or it could take 10 years. But if you keep doing it, continue growing, and periodically get closer, then one day you will see your dream take shape. When we see pictures of Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, we just think that they were always that successful. But we never think of the time that lapsed between them having their idea and seeing it come to fruition. It was not glamorous when they lived in a closet, working nonstop for 5 years or more. That's the problem. People realize it's not glitz and glamour. After a month, they just want to throw in the towel. They say, oh, well, I can't do this. While the real people keep doing the work. How to get the ego in check. It's all about being honest about where your current capabilities lie and where you have a proven track record. You have to acknowledge that there are things that other people can do better than you can and that seeking their assistance is okay. It's letting yourself off the hook to return to what you're good at and leaving the rest to someone with the expertise. You'll be way happier and make a lot more money. I'm not saying you can't figure it out or do it yourself. You're reading this book and chapter for a reason. There are millions of other people in your situation today. All you need to do to grow is put your ego aside and reverse engineer how you will reach your destination. Then put your head down and do the work. Partnering with the people you can trust to help you grow and hiring the people who are good at what you're not will set you free. Our organizational chart is in this series' 3 prior books. It's worked in the top producing offices in the country, and it will work in yours. Just be honest with yourself and admit that you need these partners and team members so you can stay in your lane. Being an orthodontist, seeing patients, putting on braces, and protecting your time is best for your team, the practice, your family, and yourself. You don't have to prove to anybody that you are a fantastic CEO or business owner. You just need to be a good orthodontist. We signed a contract with this one orthodontist. If we had educated him more before signing up with us, we could have helped him shift his mindset. He started reading our books, and a week and a half later, he texted us and said that we had conflicting processes. He had his processes and was not willing to change anything. He had a young practice, doing about $1 million in production, and wanted help with marketing to grow his business. He decided that we were not good partners. I told him that was fine, and we refunded him. We could have done a better job with our sales process, and we have learned from this experience and adapted our processes. If he had stepped back and looked at the situation objectively, he could have asked himself, who do you think has it more figured out? The guy with the newer practice who's barely done industry average, or the people who've worked with hundreds of practices, including the most prominent 8-figure practices across the board and the fastest growing startups? He let his ego get in the way. And if we were to dig deep, the real reason was that he was scared. It's a defense mechanism. When people are willing to go there, I'll ask them, where else has this behavior shown up and kept you from growing? Because you're doing it again and returning to your comfort zone. Just let it go. Nan Yin, the Zen master from the beginning of the chapter, told the university professor that if he did not empty his cup, he'd have no room to put anything new in it. When we hold on to the same old way of thinking, we cut ourselves off from the experience of new and wonderful possibilities. It's exhausting to try and control everything. Dedicating your energy to your area of mastery and letting go of all the rest is liberating. For me, letting go comes with the realization that I can't help everyone. Some people just aren't willing to let go of their egos and let someone else run the show. I've come to terms with that and realized that it's just better not to work with those individuals. So many people out there have an open mind and are willing to put their egos aside for the greater good of their practice. Those are my people. When you can finally allow yourself to do that, good things will come to you, and your X factor will begin to shine. In the next chapter, we will discover another obstacle holding you back from true growth, which has to do with the bright and shiny things in life.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to learn more about HIP or any of the topics in this episode, send an email to hello@hipcreativeinc.com. That's hello@hipcreativeinc.com, or jump over to our website at hip.agency.